Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. As you know, we're now a part of the American Consortium for Equity in Education, and we archive everything over there over at ace-ed.org. That's ace-ed.org. We'd love you to join with us. Everything we do over there is free, and it's geared for pre-K-12 educators and all the companies that serve them. Again, ace-ed.org. If you go over there, you'll enjoy our online journal, which you can flip through, which is called Equity and Access. It's absolutely excellent. Believe me, you'll enjoy. You'll thank me for sending you over there. All right. We have all our podcasts over there, plus a ton of other information, including some information of what we're going to be talking about today with our good friends from Benetech and Bookshare, same company, by the way. Okay. We have Brad Turner here. We're going to talk about their VP. I'll introduce Brad a little better in a second. We're going to talk about their new survey 1 year in, how the pandemic is impacting children with some disabilities that may have disabilities, how it's impacting children with reading barriers, okay, whatever that disability or challenge might be. Okay, so it's going to be a really interesting look at this survey that they did. Again, you're invited over to ace-ed.org and join with us, and we do a lot of good stuff. We love your voice there as well. Okay, let me bring – hey, Brad, you there? All the way across the country from
here.
San Francisco. How you doing, my friend? It's good to hear your voice.
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm good. I'm okay today. You know, here in Maine, little dreary and rainy and all that sort of stuff. How are things where you are today over in San Francisco?
You know, I'm actually a little bit east of San Francisco, up in the mountains, and it's been pretty chilly, but today looks like it's going to be a stunning day. You know, one of crystal clear blue skies.
Are you like near Sacramento? Are you near Sacramento?
I'm actually up in the Lake Tahoe area.
Oh, how beautiful, my friend. Okay, that's fantastic. Okay, I'm glad to hear that. Okay, are you enjoying yourself? Are you enjoying yourself there? Do you have a condo there?
You're not there full time.
Right? Do you have a condo there? What's going on? Talk to me, Brad.
No, we you know what, Larry? We moved up here full time when we closed our offices a year ago.
Wow. When you say we, you mean your family. Because the company's still everywhere through the Bay Area, right?
Companies everywhere through the Bay. Actually, the company's kind of throughout the U.S. We have, you know, employees in all time zones. And we just haven't been into the office.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in early March of last year, we transitioned seamlessly from every day in the office to every day out of the office.
Is there a time when the office will reopen for Benetech?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there's such a benefit to being in person. And you know, it's the hallway conversation. It's the impromptu thought where you go running down the hall and say, "Hey, I had this great idea," right? Those are hard on Zoom or on Google Meet or on, you know, Teams or whatever platform you're using. But I'll tell you what, I'm super proud of the team. They transitioned incredibly seamlessly, and we've had more signups and done so many book requests. It just keeps cranking along.
And I must ask, because Brad, by the way, everybody over at Benetech is the VP and General Manager of Global Education and Literacy at the company. We'll talk about that in a second. But you're in Lake Tahoe now, which is so beautiful. I imagine that there will be a little like R2-D2 robot named Brad, and it will be back at the office. Okay, and people will speak to the robot. You'll be able to sit in Lake Tahoe and answer them. Beep, 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 beep. You know, yes, I understand exactly what you're saying, and go ahead with that. Is that true? Will that actually
You know, I hadn't thought
think
all the way through that, but I'm liking that idea a lot.
Just think about it. Is Brad here? Beep, 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 boop, boop, boop. You know, that kind of a thing, you know. I think I hear Brad coming. Boop, 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 boop.
Okay. Exactly. There he is. He's rolling down the hallway.
I'm liking this, and no matter what happens, you fall over, they can pick you up. I think it's going to work. And, you know, it's funny with the the pandemic's horrible, but the way some things are turning out, you know, we were able to learn that we can work remotely. It saves a lot of gas, you know, the commuting time and all that. And we do need to get back together. Okay, I wonder how often we're all going to be doing that, et cetera, et cetera. Going to be a whole different world as we come out of this thing. And we're doing that right now. And what I was reminded of something before we get into the survey results today. Okay, I was reminded of something. You're the VP and general manager. And the first time we ever did a show, it just said of global education. Okay, and I still remember, okay, saying to you that no matter where you are teaching anywhere in the world, if you want something done, you call Brad, because you're the general manager of global education.
Well, it's funny. I haven't been on an airplane in over a year.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
and,
you as the Jabba the Hutt of speaking of Star Wars, the Jabba the Hutt of global education. Is that true?
I would hope that the visual is a little bit different than that, but you know, it's true. When the things need to happen, I ended up being on an airplane and going
good,
to
man.
Nepal or or going to India, but it's the incredible team that we have that really makes everything happen.
You have a great group of people over there. You really do. I know a lot of them well, and they just are so responsive and so wonderful. You know, not just to me. I'm just the publisher of all this stuff, and we do the podcasts here. Okay, but you guys are so good with everybody you work with schools and teachers across the country. And on that note, go over, Brad, and tell everybody what Benetech and Bookshare does so they know. I know.
Yeah, so Bookshare is the world's largest library for people with disabilities that affect their use of printed material. So if you're blind, visually impaired, have a mobility impairment that affects your use of a book, or even have dyslexia, a reading disability, something like that, you can qualify for books that are converted into accessible formats.
Yeah,
we work with
guys are amazing.
Volunteers and with publishers, actually. We work with almost 1,000 publishers now who give us books in the standard publishing format, e-books in the standard publishing format, and we convert those e-books into multiple different accessible formats, whether it's an audio format, whether it's an electronic braille format, whether it's a form, it's called a DAISY format, but I like to call it e-book karaoke, where the word highlights as it's read to you. And even a Microsoft Word format, so that all of a sudden you have a variety of different formats that really help the different types of reading barriers that our constituents have. So, you know, almost 1 million books now, Larry, that we've converted each of them into 5 different formats. So we're really, our goal really is to provide any book to any student
job
in the format that they want.
And how much does this cost a typical educator? Let me ask that.
So this is, for students in the U.S., this is funded by the Department of Education, the Office of Special Education Programs. It is completely free to students,
thank you,
to educators, to schools, to districts.
Thank you. I just hope every student in America who needs this and every teacher who teaches them and every administrator who administers the teachers knows this happens. It's Benetech, Benetech, Benetech.org, or Bookshare, Bookshare, which is part of Benetech. Okay, and it's just absolutely
And you
incredible.
Can go to Bookshare.org.
Thank you. Bookshare.
You can have Benetech.org or Bookshare.org.
Yeah,
yep.
And I'm telling you, you guys, you're going to heaven. Lake Tahoe is close, but not quite there. You're going to heaven. You do good. You and the team, okay?
Thank you.
You and the team. You really do. You do great stuff. All right. So talk to me the survey. And by the way, if people go to ace-ed.org, okay, we have the survey over there. Just scroll down a little bit. But I also put a link to the survey on the description of this show. So if you're listening on your computer All right. If you just go into the description, you'll see a link. You can go right over there and read the survey. It'll take you to our website, the Benetech's website, to see what the survey is all about. But it's really interesting. What did you survey and what did you learn? Brett.
Yeah, so we surveyed educators who support students with reading barriers, including,
yep,
you know, reading specialists, special ed teachers, teachers of the visually impaired, and even some general education teachers. Our premise was that students with disabilities are falling even further behind their peers due to the pandemic. As we know, sort of the nexus of school has moved a little bit closer to home than it has to the classroom this year because most students have been out of class, out of the building for a year.
Yep.
You know, some pockets of schools are going back, but many of them are still out of school, and they'll have lost a year of in-person education. That doesn't mean they've lost a year of education, but
yes,
lost a year
right.
of in-person education.
And that hurts in and of itself, but we have to make that clear. You're absolutely right.
That's right. And the issue that we wanted to look at was that students with disabilities typically get additional accommodations and supports and programming in person. They'll go to the reading resource room, and they'll have somebody sit with them and work with them on their reading and their literacy. And there was no specific data on these students with reading barriers. So we wanted to understand how our community of users are doing and what we can do to ensure
mm-hmm.
that they are accessing the content they need. So that's who we surveyed and really what we were working to learn.
Yeah, and you said that was the premise. What the reality turn out to be? How bad was it or good was it? Maybe it was good?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There are a number of factors that contribute. Half the teachers felt their students with reading barriers were reading and learning sufficiently. Half didn't. 60% felt they were meeting students with IEPs, and two-thirds reported that their students with reading barriers had access to books in accessible formats. So many of them thought that their students had access to the information.
This is good. Yeah.
But 47%, less than half, reported that they were able to adequately read and learn. And so then you dig in a little deeper, right? What changed? What's the difference?
Yeah. And let me just take it so far. Wait, so far what we're saying is, we just take it this far, we're doing okay with access, that the kids did, for the most part, correct me if I'm wrong, have good access to what they needed for tools for reading. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. The challenge is that it's less about whether or not the student can get the can read the book. It's whether
mm-hmm.
they can get the book. Technology access became super important.
Ah.
That came out loud and clear in this survey. You know, especially for students with disabilities, technology access was a critical factor. And specifically, technology that can be used online or offline, because internet connectivity, even in this day and age and in this country, internet connectivity can be spotty.
Oh, yeah.
And that becomes a challenge, right? So when the teachers, this was an interesting thing that came out of this, when the teachers knew that they had books in accessible formats for their students, they were much more confident in their students' ability to read and learn. But because the nexus of the learning moved towards the home, the support from parents and caregivers was higher than we've ever seen. That factor became higher than we've ever seen as an important factor for student learning and progress during the pandemic.
It's really something. You know what you said a few minutes ago, in this day and age, okay? I did a show earlier this week with the good folks who are the educators in Monterey Peninsula, which, as you know, is about an hour south of where your office is.
Yep.
Okay, or maybe a little more. Okay. And it's an upscale, beautiful place, to say the least. Okay, Monterey. And they learned that their students were having trouble with access during the pandemic. Okay? You're talking about an hour south of Silicon Valley. Okay?
Yeah.
Where you take everybody. So amazing in this day and age, I'll say what you said, that some kids don't have it. Okay? It's just amazing. But you said something before that struck me, and I'm not sure I heard it correctly. You said that a lot of the, if I heard it correctly, the kids had access to the books or access to the technology, but they still were falling behind, and which I got in my head is, was that a socialization challenge, or did I mishear what you said?
No. For all students, it's a socialization challenge. And
yeah,
interestingly,
of course.
And I'd love to touch on this just a little bit later, but some students with disabilities thrive in a remote environment.
Okay.
Because socialization is stressful for them. And so when they can meter their own learning, they're better. Some students are just the opposite, right? So but it less of a socialization challenge than it is a support challenge.
Thank you. That's an excellent explanation.
You know, so again, if they work with a reading specialist on a daily or weekly or monthly basis, a lot of times they'll lose that support. Mom and dad are sitting on Zoom calls just like, you know,
everybody else. Yep.
And so, you know, they don't have access to that trained, really important special educator that helps them through some of these challenging times. And you know, parents would love to be able to help. Sometimes they don't have the background, don't have the skill set, or in fact, just don't have the, I'll call it the bandwidth, the time to sit with their child for, you know, a few hours a day to help them get through some of these challenges.
Right, and don't forget, a lot of parents have multiple kids. I mean, you know, it's everybody we're talking about here. Had the same thing, and everybody was stuck at home. Time challenge.
Absolutely. It's multiple kids and multiple jobs, right?
Yeah. Oh,
parents are working multiple jobs. There are so many challenges out there to tearing a kid out of school and saying, okay, go learn this on your own.
That's right. It is brutal. Socioeconomically, what did you find?
So this is where you know, we really had some eye-opening information come through. We used the percentage of students at a school that receive free and reduced-priced meals as a proxy for socioeconomic status. So if a school delivers 80% of their meals as free and reduced, subsidized, government subsidy, you know, we can make a pretty good assumption that that school is a lower-income school than a school that's delivering 10% of their meals as free and reduced price. So the schools where they had a greater than 50% of students receiving free or reduced price lunch reported that their students had fewer teachers in schools where they had a more than 50% lunch subsidy reported that their students had sufficient access to technology and internet. So the internet, we come back to this access and technology, and we say in lower income communities, access to internet becomes more and more challenging.
Yeah.
Especially compared with these students' peers in wealthier schools.
Is that due to broadband or due to not having the technology? The broadband's there, they don't have the computer. It's both.
Both.
Okay.
It's absolutely. You know what, Larry, we learned that it's three things. It's access to the technology. Although a lot of these students have mobile phones these days, and so that becomes less and less of an issue. But it's also access to broadband and access to enough resources in the teaching world, right? Does a student, in a normal year, does a student get into a reading resource room daily, or is it weekly, or is it monthly? And so we saw a higher percentage of teachers in wealthier schools reporting that their students had books in accessible formats, and a
yep.
lower percentage in less fortunate schools that reported their students had sufficient access to technology and internet. So all of a sudden we said, wow, we have to close this equity gap, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's I don't want to run a service that's only for students in wealthy districts. And so we're laser focused on access to assistive technology and accessible books. And you know, Bookshare does that.
Yes,
how
do
we make it easier for these students who need these books most? And so we're really starting to refocus on some of our outreach, our targeted outreach, marketing to underserved districts. And we're even redesigning some of our products to make it easier for teachers to get students set up on Bookshare and get that first book in the hands of the student that need it. So, you know, one of the things that we've done is we've said, hey, you can choose whatever application you want to access Bookshare. We're not changing that, but we are coming out with a series of applications that are top-of-the-line, full-featured applications that are free, rather than over the last number of years, we've seen some really nice applications come out, but people charge for them. And so in an underserved district, fewer students use those paid-for apps than use the free apps. You know what? We're gonna come out with a set of applications later in the year. We're going to come out with a set of applications that are top-shelf, fully featured applications that we believe will be just as good or even better than these paid-for versions, and we're going to give them away for free.
Well, please allow us to help you over at ace-ed.org. Okay, we will help you get the word out on that. I mean, we work with you anyway. I don't want to get lost in this loop. We really want to help you push this out there. Okay, because we have a
large... No, that's great. You guys have such an important voice in the field, and so
thank you.
Thank you for that offer. We will absolutely
take you
up on that.
So do you. It's so we can together we can scream a lot louder about this stuff, and I think that's wonderful what you're doing. You know, and it's amazing. I have to say this: you, Benetech, and Bookshare, you guys are such good people. And you've been doing this, I'll say out of the goodness of your heart, I really mean this, for these kids who needed people with reading barriers for years, okay? And all these years, you were trying so hard, and then this damn pandemic hits, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, we realize, wait, there was a lot more we could do. The pandemic, every cloud has a silver lining. This showed us, wait a minute, we were missing some stuff. Okay, we thought we had it nailed. Okay, but now we got this other stuff we got to do. And what if we could, like you guys are doing, if everybody can move forward, and I'll give you another example to say them again, is Monterey Peninsula Schools. They were shocked to find out that some of their kids couldn't have access. Some of their kids at Monterey, an hour south of Silicon Valley, didn't have access to the internet. They were shocked.
Yeah.
Okay, didn't even occur to them. Okay, and so they decided to make changes just like you guys are doing, okay? And, this pandemic brought up a lot of stuff that needs to be done, and I couldn't say enough about you guys. Well, anecdotally – oh, wait, before I ask that, I want to ask one thing. As mentioned, you are in charge of all education and all that goes on all over the world everywhere. Am I correct? Not just everything. All education falls under Brad, correct? Okay. All right.
Correct.
Globally, you do this globally, Mr. Global Education. How is globally for the people using Bookshare?
So our membership increased dramatically. At one point during the pandemic, Larry, there were 1.3 billion students out of school.
Yep.
1.3 billion students out of school.
Jeez.
There are hundreds of millions of students who don't have access to information.
Yep.
And interestingly and sadly, there are something like 25 to 35 million students who will never go back to school after the pandemic because their situation has changed.
Yeah.
And so
think about
that. Been, the numbers are staggering, right? The economic impact of losing a year of education is it will last for decades. So, you know, the numbers are pretty amazingly large. And what we can do is just work to supply students with disabilities access to this information, you know, and so even around the world, we look for educational material to supply to them, and we look for culturally relevant titles to supply to them. Because those are the two things that I think for students are most important. They have to get their schoolwork in, and they have to understand and learn their culture and their, you know, the folklore, the tales, the stories that their parents grew up with. I think that stuff's really important. And so we do work around the world, and especially in developing nations, in Africa, in South Asia, in Southeast Asia, even in Latin America, we work to try to provide equal access to information for students with disabilities, and you know the same access that their peers get.
It's so hard these days, and it just gets brutal. Especially, you guys just do such a good job. What are your anecdotes? You know, besides all the data that the survey has, and again, a link to the survey is as you're listening to this podcast, everybody, it's on the description. But Brad, as just anecdotally. Okay, what's the good stuff that's coming out of this? What are your stories this year, or the bad stuff? What are you hearing? Anecdotes.
Oh, so you know, of course, and it just became even more evident. Technology is the great equalizer.
Yep.
It really is.
I agree.
You know,
I agree.
Without technology, you hand a student with a reading barrier, you hand them a book and a paper book, and you know what they there's nothing they can do with that book. Carry it around and put it in their backpack. But you give them a technology support, and those students are so motivated and so excited that you should see the growth, both educationally, but social. The social growth is incredible. Technology being the great equalizer, it helps students consume grade level content. It helps students learn and participate in their class. It helps students integrate socially. So you know, getting students access to inclusive, accessible internet and technology. Every student can learn, everyone, if they have books in accessible formats, and if they can read in the way that works for them, they can read and learn. We have a student, you know, we talked a little bit about this up at the top, and I said I kind of wanted to come back to it. You know, for some students, a virtual format works better for them. We have a middle school student in Texas with dyslexia. She likes virtual learning because it's easier to accommodate herself. She can she can move at her pace. She started with the inability to get through a page.
Hard.
And with Bookshare, she ended up just sitting and loving to read, and even entered a writing contest.
Wow!
And did well. Absolutely.
Wow!
Absolutely. It gives students like that the additional time that they need on assignments without the social pressure, right? And boy. Talk about social pressure at that age, right?
Yeah,
so,
it's brutal anyway. Brutal, period. School's brutal.
We had a high school. Yeah, it is. We had a high school student from your neck of the woods up in Kennebunk.
That's very close to my neck of the woods.
Exactly.
Yeah, real close.
That, you know, he says the transition to online learning was easier for him because he had already used various technology resources. It didn't really change much for him.
Yeah.
And so while his peers struggle to say, oh, my gosh, I've got to do what's the Zoom thing, got to do online, he's like, yeah, I'm totally on board with this stuff. I'm already reading my books this way. So some students really, really, really thrived. And, you know, some students miss the interaction with all students, I think, miss the interaction with their teachers, but especially students with disabilities. You know, we have a blog, and this is a great story. We interviewed a teacher in Alaska. Talk about rural and
yeah.
Challenging access to the internet, right? 98% of his students are Native American, you know, Alaskan.
Of course, yes, Alaska Native, yes.
And so he's one of those special kind of teachers that allows the student to chase their passion and builds the lessons around their passion. And one of his students wants to become a professional chef. So what this teacher up in Alaska, Ben, what Ben did was assign him to read a cookbook. Okay, do your reading, but read a cookbook. And, oh, by the way, find a recipe and make it. So the student started making these things, you know, making these meals and taking pictures of them and showing them to his teacher, Ben, all proud. And Ben's like, hey, forget that. Bring it in for me. So the student started making stuff and bringing it in. And you know, and of course it was fabulous. But again, that student was so motivated to read and learn because it was the passion. And so, you know, I fully believe that students with disabilities, all students, but specifically students with disabilities, haven't been given those opportunities. And when
yeah.
we can provide them
yeah.
the reading material that allows
yeah.
them to open up and blossom, they just, boy, you know, it's the next explorer, the next scientist, the next astronaut, the next doctor, the next professional chef. They're all right there.
You just summed up what literacy is all about, the ability to read and the right to read, okay? And if you take that away, we've taken too many steps backwards, okay?
Yeah, totally agree.
And we would lose these kids, and we say, you know, books for people with reading barriers. Well, that's a lot of things, you know, dyslexia, blindness, anything you could throw in there. Okay, they can't read. Okay, even ADHD to a certain extent. Okay, they can't focus for a long period of time, etc. I mean, it's really tough if you can't read. Okay, and that's why what you guys do is so darn important and made more important. Okay, during these crazy times, and you're the guys who move forward. You took the time to learn what you needed, and now you're moving forward. I really love that, and I'm quite serious about we're going to help you guys, okay, get the word out on all of this on a regular basis. We got to go. Brad, thanks a million. I'm glad you're having a nice day out there. Okay, and are you in Lake Tahoe? Not the actual lake itself, but in the area? Are you literally in Lake Tahoe?
Yeah, I'm about 20 miles. I'm on the shore of a small lake called Donner Lake up here. Which is,
that doesn't
you
sound
know,
like a good place to go for lunch. I'm thinking of those Donners.
It's the same Donners.
I realize that's right by Lake Tahoe. And have you talked to the chef? Of course, I'm very concerned about this now. Okay, the Donner restaurant.
You know, it's
not, doesn't sound good.
That,
I don't know.
That meal expired a while back.
Okay, good. I'm just
not
concerned.
On the menu
I'm
anymore.
I'm sharing a little bit of concern with you about that. Okay, because
you
never know. Right, you're welcome. You're right. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, look this up, I think the Donner Party started from Newburyport, Massachusetts. Okay?
Well, you
I
know,
think
that's interesting. I don't
I think that's
I don't know
started.
The origin of the Donner Party. I do know the end of the story. I just don't know the very beginning.
Well, the middle of the story is that, and this is a tragedy for anyone in New England, at the end, once they left Reno and started to go up the mountain, there were no more Dunkin' Donuts, and that's what caused the problem. New Englanders can't go for that long without Dunkin' Donuts, so it's that simple. All right?
And the lesson to be learned
is yeah. So there you go. That's from next history teacher.
You got to
so
stay close to the
me.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Right, yeah. So trust me, because as you know, America runs on Dunkin'. So That's why
right.
the whole thing happened. It's yeah, the Don. I love, you're a Donner. That's really amazing. Okay, I have nothing more to say on that. It's wonderful to have you back on the show, my friend. Thanks, Brad.
Larry, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Keep up the good work, and I'll make sure everybody at Bookshare gets this show so they can all listen to your brilliant thinkings, okay? Your brilliant thoughts, okay? Thanks, Brad.
Perfect. Thank you. Take care.
Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye. Brad Turner, everybody, who's the Global Education Literacy VP and General Manager over at Bookshare.org, Benetech, BENETECH.org. And what they do, believe me, they're all going to heaven. Go to heaven, too. You go, you sign up, it's all free. And your kids who need it, any kid with a reading barrier of any sort is going to benefit from this magnificent free service. So please take advantage of that, okay? That's what they want you to do. We're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, all a part of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Thanks a million.